The first reading is from the opening chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was is to come, the Almighty. The second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning at verse 33. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Anne. Just as Chris comes up to talk to us about the passages, I'd like to say a prayer for him and for us. Thank you, Lord, for what you have given Chris to talk to us about today. We ask that you will speak through him to teach us new truths about Jesus and what he can mean for us. In his name, amen. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Charles. Good morning. It's lovely to be here. I think I know many of you, but my name's Chris. Sorry, a bit of music there somewhere. I'm a curate here at Christ Church and a member of the senior leadership team. Before I get started on the preach, I just wanted to add to Charles's message about this and just say thank you to those of you who have increased your giving or given for the first time. And we've been just hugely encouraged as leaders with people's generosity and heart of wanting to be involved in all that we're doing here. So thank you. Now we are, let me just start my timer. If I don't start this, then we could be here all morning, which might not be a good thing. I wonder about you, whether you've ever had someone ask you that question, "What's Jesus like? Who is he?" Of course, it doesn't come like that, does it? It's never as obvious as that. It can often be, "Oh, you're a Christian. What do you think about?" Or, "This is happening in my life." And it comes sort of around the corner. We never direct. And yet there we are on the spot in that moment saying, how do I show this person the hope that I have in Jesus? How do I do that? We sung today, the first hymn we sung was all about the whole breadth of God's kingdom. Everything that God has done for us. And then in our second song, I will not boast in anything, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Now we're going to focus on Revelation, on that reading from Revelation 1. Before we do that, I want to read to you one from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says this, you may know it well, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Now I could talk the whole, we could spend the whole morning focusing on that and how we do that. I'm actually going to unpack this four verses from Revelation. Revelation 1, just four verses. And yet, what an amazing four verses. We have a greeting to the people reading the book. We have a doxology that's a hymn of praise to God. We have an acclamation of who God is in his entirety. God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we have from God a definition of who he is. A divine self-revelation through John as he was writing. And my hope is that as we look at this and unpack it, that it might stir in us, might rekindle that excitement that we have as followers of Jesus in just who it is that we worship. And then when we are going out and about our days, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, and we meet those people who come at us with those questions. And we say, hey, let me tell you about the hope I have in Jesus. And we're able to speak of that hope that we carry. So let's dive into this passage. John, who writes Revelation, he starts, grace and peace to you. Not unusual, many of the letters start with grace and peace to you. In the name of God. John doesn't go there. He says in the name from him who is and who was and who is to come. Notice how he starts right in the present. Who is right now as followers of Jesus. Saying, you are living in a reality where you can worship the eternal God who is right now alive. And he said, but not only is he alive right now, he always has been alive and he always is alive, always will be. So right from the start, John says, this greeting I bring you, grace and peace, is from the God who is not like you. He's the one who is uncreated. There's never been a moment existing. Even our language we use and our reality as humans can't get our heads around the idea of God who's never been created, always existed, and always will exist. He's above us. He's different from us. He's holy. That's where John starts. But he's really only just warming up. God, who is eternal, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Some academics like to explore that and say perhaps that's the angels around his throne. Maybe it's the heavenly throne room. I think it's just simply a reference to the Holy Spirit. Seven is a number that in Hebrew means completion, perfection. There's a sense of a reference here to the fullness of God, who is Father, who is Son, who is Holy Spirit. Still, John is just getting warmed up. And from Jesus Christ. This grace and peace is from God, who is Father, eternal. It's from God, who is Holy Spirit. It's from God, who is Jesus. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God who came down to be here with us so that we, in our wonder and awe at who God is, might know him as a man, human, there, real. And see in Jesus, God reaching down to us and saying, you're wondering what I am like. Here, I am in your midst amongst you. Now you will know what I am like. And we, of course, have the gift of reading so much that is written about Jesus, both in the Old Testament, reaching towards Jesus, telling us what he's going to be like, and then in the gospel accounts, telling us what he is like. And of course, our reality today is that we are given the Holy Spirit, who is just like Jesus. So in many ways, our reality today is even better than the disciples who walked with Jesus, because we get to walk every moment of every day in the presence of the Holy Spirit. John references Jesus Christ, but he wants to say more. There's a lot he wants to say about Jesus. He says Jesus is the faithful witness we've just been talking about, the one who came and said, this is what God is like. And what did he get for that? Crucified. It was an affront to people. They said, how dare you? Show me that. God was no longer in their mind how they wanted God to be, but there was God. Love being shown that didn't meet their view of what love should be. And so this is a danger, this is a threat, this is an affront to us. So they crucified him. But, John says, the firstborn from the dead. There's so much packed into that phrase. As firstborn, Jesus conquered death. It couldn't hold him. But as firstborn, it indicates that there was more to come. Why would it say firstborn if it was not also that there would be more born from the dead? And so here we see in just those few words a demonstration that Jesus' sacrifice was for all of us, that each of us can know eternal life. Eternal life. And still, he's got more to say. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. Just think about that for a moment. There is no king, no leader, no one in authority now or ever who is even close to the authority of Jesus. No one. And so for whatever hierarchies we might create here on earth, relative to the distance between us and the authority of Jesus, we are all equal because we all come before the one who is ruler over the kings of the earth. All are equal. And yet Jesus, in his kingship, is one who gives to us grace and peace. There is the hope. It's not a place of fear and trembling. It's a place of recognition that this mighty, sovereign God gives us grace and peace. That's just John's introduction. He goes on, and now he's turning to praise. He's given us instructions about who God is, and then he says, you feel like almost the praise is just overflowing. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. I imagine John must have been standing at this point and celebrating or something, because there's just this overflow of his heart towards God. But in it, he reminds us again, free from our sins, whatever our lives might have been, we are free people. Free, not just for now, free for eternity. We're also a kingdom. Together, we are part of God's kingdom. We're his children. We're brought into his kingdom. And we're priests. Let's be those who are ready to declare the hope that we have for Jesus in every situation that we are taken into. And John ascribes glory, power forever and ever. Now notice he's still talking about Jesus here, and to the people reading this, if they were rooted in their Jewish heritage, this would have been a challenge. One God. Hold on a minute. Yeah, Jesus, isn't that two gods? John's saying, no, this is one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now he didn't use that language. We put that language later to try and help us understand it. But these words, we missed that, would have been an affront. And yet he's saying, Jesus, who stood amongst you, is divine. and therefore we can proclaim glory and power forever to him. John's focus has been looking back, looking at where we are, and now he sets his sights right on the eternal horizon. Jesus has said he will come again, and John says, let's just focus on that for a moment and remember that Jesus will one day come. Now, interestingly, to do that, he then looks backwards and grabs some prophecies from Daniel and from Zechariah. I love the fact that he's there taking his material from the Old Testament and saying, let's use these to see that one day Jesus will come again. And here it is. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. That's from Daniel. And those who pierced him, and all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. That's from Zechariah. So shall it be. It's certain. The mourning is those people who, on hearing about Jesus, said, no, I don't need that. I'm going to go my own way. Do it myself. They didn't want to have that hope. And one day they will come before Jesus and say, oh, if only I have bowed the knee. The hope we have is as those who have chosen to bow before Jesus. And the hope we carry to others is the hope that you too right now can know Jesus, who will forgive your sins, who will lead you on for eternity in relationship with him. I must draw to a close. And then we find God speaking through the mouth and the pen of John, who declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, just in case we were wondering who's speaking. The first and the last, but just to underline that, who is and who was and who is to come. So yes, the first, the last, but also right now, the one who is. And then he finishes, the Almighty, just in case we haven't got to grips that God was other than us, different, beyond, above. These four verses, just four, are a summary of the whole of the story of God's kingdom. The whole of it. And I love that God does this in his word. We zoom in and suddenly we get this, the whole thing wrapped up in one verse or four verses. And so I wonder what you have in the rest of your day. What's coming up tomorrow, the day after? I had popped down to the shop that my son works in. And they know me a bit down there. They know what I do. And I walked in and they were very quiet. And one of the people there just came up to me and just started wanting to talk about the book of Revelation and was really worried because someone she knew had filled her with fear about it. And so we spent about 20 minutes just talking about the hope that we can have in Jesus and how these are not words to bring fear in us. They're words to invite us into a relationship. Now, maybe I ended up in that situation because this person knows that I work in the church. But there's so many other situations where people don't know that. And they just want to know, why do you have hope? Why are you at peace? That's each of us. How can you be at peace with everything that's going on? There's your invitation. Let me tell you why I'm at peace. Let me tell you why I carry hope. It's because of this person I know called Jesus. That's not an affront to people. It's just telling them about a relationship that you have. And so if these words in Revelation are just a little bit exciting, if they just stir your heart a little bit, and you think, yeah, that's who I worship. And my encouragement to every one of us as we head into the month of December, so often a month where people are searching for Jesus, just be on the lookout for those questions that really are about Jesus, even though they're covered in all these layers of circumstance and situation. Let's be on the lookout. And let's take encouragement from each other and courage to be those people who this Christmas, this December, will bring that message of hope to those that we meet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hope, the certain hope that you have given each of us in Jesus. And I thank you for the invitation to share that hope with those people we meet. And I thank you that you lead us by your Spirit to people. So I pray for each of us in the rest of our days, in the days ahead this week, in the weeks to come, that you will lead us and show us where those connections are, where those people are, for whom we are the one who will give a testimony of the hope that we have in Jesus. And maybe lead that person a little closer to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.